Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com, as we are coming to you on a Wednesday here, recording this late Tuesday night, as we are about right at the midpoint of July. We've had some headlines that we wrote about late last weekend that we're going to talk about in today's episode here regarding the Chiefs. NFL training camps are obviously ramping back up later this month as we're getting closer and closer to seeing players back in pads. Really exciting time right now in the NFL, but there's a lot obviously still to be decided from both off the field perspectives for certain players. Whether it's Chiefs or not, I mean, we know Aaron Rodgers, the saga continues to draw out there in Green Bay with him and a lot of other great free agents available, which we'll slightly touch on in this podcast episode today. So obviously a lot of stuff regarding the Chiefs and their defense over the last week, and it all stems from Frank Clark. In our last podcast episode from a couple few weeks ago, we talked about just him being arrested in June, and we now have kind of an update on that. We said, you know, back on the June podcast episode that obviously we're going to have to wait and see how it plays out. Some of the things we kind of read at first when that June arrest kind of came down was it may not really be a serious issue unless the feds were that serious about charging him. Well, now we fast forward a few weeks later, and this has become a much more serious situation, as Friday afternoon, Frank Clark was formally charged with a felony possession of an assault weapon. And according to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office, this felony charge actually stems from his March arrest, not the June arrest. And that's kind of interesting, given the reports of the June arrest was, you know, an Uzi was found in a duffel bag. And that's kind of been obviously talked about as, you know, something that's really been unforeseen for a lot of people, you know, surrounding in football media, just of all the guys that have had maybe gun-related charges or incidents off the field. That's certainly been something that has not happened a lot. And at the same time, I mean, it's hard to really know what these guys are thinking off the field. There's, you never know what you're going to come across, but at the same time, I mean, that's definitely something that's, kind of challenging to try to think about, of course, when you're trying to, you know, just go about your business in the NFL. But, certainly, yeah, that's what's interesting here to me, is that this felony account, or charge is, accounted from the March arrest and not the June arrest. And that March arrest of the gun charge actually occurred during a traffic stop. The June arrest with the Uzi for illegal firearm possession, I believe either was in an airport or in an airport parking lot, was kind of where that was reported. So what do we know about this case currently? If you guys missed the article that I wrote about and had come out over the weekend on Saturday, just want to update everybody on what this means from the judicial system side of things, and then also what it could mean for Frank Clark regarding the NFL side of things. So we'll start off with the judicial system side, and kind of like we said back in June, you got to let this play out. I mean, very hard to know exactly what's going to happen. The main thing is that these charges within the criminal justice system could possibly put Frank Clark in prison for up to 3 years. So that's obviously, I mean, you know, if that were to happen, not only would his NFL career pause, but I mean, that's a pretty lengthy time to go to jail, obviously, for a gun charge when, again, a few weeks ago, a lot of people did not think it would become that serious. But Clark is due in court this week on Wednesday. So when this podcast episode drops Wednesday, July 14th, he will have a court date and an arraignment set So far, this appears to be, like we said, much more serious issue kind of compared to other gun-related incidents that have involved NFL players. I mean, you can go back within the last 5 to 10 years on certain ones that kind of were swept to the side or pushed under the rug later on. This, again, seems to be a much more serious issue. And again, in Uzi, like we said, that's just something you don't see talked about when NFL players are involved in gun-related charges or incidents. And as I kind of was listening to somebody else kind of talk about it, I mean, it's something that you kind of only seen in the movies, right? An Uzi is not something you usually see on a day-to-day, you know, basis when talking about gun-related incidents. So, like we said, it could be the feds kind of wanting to stick it to him, especially being involved in the NFL. I mean, you hate to say that, but just knowing how maybe serious they want to take this, that could be part of the reason why. As far as the NFL side of things, let alone possibly going behind bars for up to 3 years, the NFL does have the option to suspend Frank Clark without pay, or he can be subjected to paid leave. This is due to the fact that he was charged with a felony. So that's kind of where this really stems from and why those two options are so clear, possibly on the NFL side of things right now. The defender would receive some sort of discipline as well for violating the league's personal conduct policy. You've seen other incidents like gun-related stuff or, you know, just incidents off the field that maybe involved altercations or fights that have put guys either to start a season or whatever, you know, with a 4 to 6 game suspension. So NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy stated on Friday when Clark was charged with the felonies that this is a case that is under review by the NFL right now, saying, quote, that they have been monitoring all developments in the matter and it is under review of the personal conduct policy. So that's NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy in his quote there. If Clark is indeed convicted, he could possibly possibly be placed on the commissioner's exempt list. And we've seen, obviously, over the years recently, guys go on the list for many different reasons. But that would be quite the development here again when maybe some people did not think it would be as serious a few weeks ago. So in turn, what will the Chiefs do? I mean, I think even before this became a much more serious issue, I think it was clear from an on-field perspective that Kansas City still had maybe one hole at their pass rush at the defensive end spot. I mean, they had a little bit of a late season emergence last year from a day three draft pick from Michigan, Mike Dana, last year as a rookie in 2020. Of course, they drafted Joshua Kando this year from Florida State, but he's a really raw player, another day three kind of pick that's just going to take time to develop and really refine his tool set. But I think you look at the free agents that are still out there, there's actually quite a bit of good names, and it's pretty interesting, especially on the defensive side. I mean, there is some offensive free agents that definitely have name value and could still probably step in and be a starter. But I think the defensive side of free agents still available is much more fruitful. So one name that we've kind of heard linked to the Chiefs a lot this offseason is former Chargers pass rusher Melvin Ingram. Of course, he's dealt with injuries over the years in recent history. But when he's healthy, he's been very highly productive player. Gets to the quarterback with just some really quick hand counters and an explosion off the line of scrimmage. So Melvin Ingram's kind of a guy that a lot of people think will eventually be signed by the Kansas City Chiefs. I was listening to NFL Network reporter Ian Rappaport a couple of days ago when kind of this Frank Clark felony news came out that when Melvin Ingram visited the Chiefs and was in their building back earlier in the offseason, I believe it was back in March or early April, the visit went really well. I mean, there was a lot from both sides, player and team-wise, that each liked about each other and they felt good about, just no deal came to fruition. So Melvin Ingram seems like a name that eventually I think will be signed by Kansas City, even if this turns out to be, you know, resolved in a much more simpler way for Frank Clark. I think either way, we could see very likely Melvin Ingram in a Chiefs uniform, unless I guess the only reason would be he gets a lot more money in a offer elsewhere. But I think if that would have happened already, he would have already been signed and been on a roster heading into training camp and at this point in mid-July. Other kind of defensive end names that are available, again, there's a lot of notable ones. You do have former Kansas City Chief Justin Houston, but what I wonder with there is really, would Houston want to come back after, you know, this current staff of Brett Veach's in the front office was the one that released him a couple of years ago? I mean, I think obviously he understood kind of money-wise and where the team was at that it maybe made sense for Kansas City, but I could still, you know, imagine that Justin Houston would have some, you know, a little bit of resistance in wanting to come back to Kansas City. But who knows? We'll see where he goes, if anywhere. I mean, it's still a little shocking to not see him on a roster. There's been a little bit of buzz about the Baltimore Ravens being interested in him, but that's been pretty light for the last couple of weeks. You have other names like Olivier Vernon, former New York Giant, and Cleveland Brown. Unfortunately, been hit with a lot of injuries in his career, but before he got hurt last year with the Browns, that was one of his best years in a long time since he was on his rookie contract. So Olivier Vernon's a guy that really could be an interesting mix with guys like Chris Jones and Jaron Reed on the defensive line. You know, more of an athletic type, but not necessarily with explosion, just kind of a guy that I think is really athletically sound and technically sound across the board. You have other veteran guys here like Everson Griffin, former Vikings player for a long time, was with the Cowboys and Lions a little bit last year. Adrian Claiborne has been around the league for a long time. I do wonder more with him if his skill set would actually fit in Kansas City's 4-3 defensive scheme as well. He could be more of a 3-4 guy, but you never know. Was the way that Steve Spagnuolo is able to design and create blitzes, he could be an interesting name. And then John Simon, former Patriots player most recently, that's a name that I think again, a lot of really, really exciting names out here on the defensive free agent market still left available. He's more of an underrated depth guy, but I think in Kansas City, if need be, could be counted on to play consistent snaps if the Chiefs wanted to go that direction. Again, I think Melvin Ingram is very likely going to be signed by Kansas City very soon. But again, the thing is with Frank Clark, you got – obviously got to let the legal system play itself out here, but no matter what happens, I mean, this is obviously the timing of it with the felony charge here in July, with how close training camp is here in a couple of weeks. I mean, that's what really makes this more of an on-field issue for Kansas City than anything, is just how close we are to training camp. Those position battles are going to start to take over eventually, and eventually the Chiefs will have to move on, whether Clark's there or not, with a plan in place. I think another idea that I did write about that would be interesting, I'm not sure how willing the Chiefs would be wanting to do this maybe on a consistent basis as far as starting games, but maybe in rotations and playing, tinkering with the snaps here and there, moving guys around. But I think they could get by with pairing Chris Jones and Tershawn Wharton as starting defensive ends if they're not able to sign any of the current free agents that are still available, and Clark is, you know, hypothetically not there, either due to suspension or whatever else happens from this case possibly. But yeah, I mean, Tershawn Wharton was everywhere last year, both inside and outside on the defensive line, a UDFA rookie from Missouri S&T that came out of nowhere. His final numbers included 27 tackles, 4 quarterback hits, 4 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and then 1 forced fumble and 1 fumble recovery each. And Wharton won with a vast arsenal of pass rush moves, provided immense pressure right in the opposing quarterback's face. I was watching some tape the other day, actually, on the defense of Kansas City from last year. And Tershawn Wharton, I mean, it was just fun to see how many different directions that he went with trying to beat opposing offensive linemen. And that's the name of the game to winning at the NFL level. And to see him understand that and know that right away coming into the league as a UDFA rookie was really exciting to see, because guys can get by with one key move at the college level, but against you know, premier talent at the NFL level in the trenches, you got to have a wide array of pass rush moves, and Tershawn Wharton certainly brought and showed that to the table last year. And you look at Chris Jones, there's already been reports of him maybe playing more snaps at defensive end this year. Wouldn't necessarily be 100% of the time, but theoretically could allow, you know, Jones to keep his production consistent, which has already been pretty amazing. I mean, 40 and a half sacks in his first 76 games. That's 17th most in the league since he entered as a rookie in 2016 to the NFL. So could keep his production as consistent as possible and also help out the team in a bind there, especially, again, if Clark is not on the field or with the team, whatever stems from this. So the bottom line is with Frank Clark, I mean, obviously the legal system going to have to play itself out more than anything, but obviously much more serious situation than it appeared to possibly be. I mean, definitely was something that was worth monitoring, but this could be something obviously that really puts Clark in a bind, obviously, for NFL future with the Chiefs. Obviously want to give the guy his due, though. I mean, that year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, his play down the stretch and in the playoffs, his leadership, definitely don't want to just gloss over that, but at the same time, very intriguing matter to see what's going to happen here from both the judicial system side, the NFL side of things with Frank Clark. I guess the other point that is worth monitoring here too, again, like we said, just how close it is to the start of the season. How quickly are we going to hear an update on the Frank Clark news? Moving on to a much more, I guess, exciting part of things for the Kansas City Chiefs and one of their players, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. Last weekend, the ESPYs took place, and obviously we did not see Duvernay-Tardif on the field last year, but tremendous job by him opting out of the season, continued to work as an orderly in his native Canada, helping out against the COVID pandemic and the Canadian doctor. He was honored on Saturday night for his 2020 work off the field, as he was named this year's recipient of the Muhammad Ali Sports Humanitarian of the Year Award during the ESPYs. So, Duvernay-Tardif, we saw pictures and videos of him, you know, working in his scrubs and had his mask and shield on. And it was just, you could see it looked very natural for him, and just how much he helped just normal everyday people with the pandemic last year in Canada for as long as he did, and the stress and work that he put in, obviously. Tremendous job by him. Great to see him recognized in that light, and now the team is obviously, and the team in the league has praised it. So, they've always praised him as a doctor. You know, we saw a couple years ago when he got his MD officially, and just continues to make a big impact off the field. Returning to the team this year, surely at training camp and other parts of the season, he'll get a lot of standing ovation. So congratulations to Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, offensive lineman of the Kansas City Chiefs, receiving this year's Muhammad Ali Sports Humanitarian of the Year Award. That's obviously tremendous to see. Anytime guys can get recognized off the field for doing something good that's impacting the public and fans or everyday people in a strong light. So a couple other things I just wanted to mention here on today's podcast episode. Of course, we got a lot of exciting article topics on the way. I know we kind of mentioned this a couple few weeks ago on the podcast, but I am going to try to look at possible Tyrann Mathieu extension and what that could look like, as the Chiefs and Mathieu could possibly get one done here before the season starts, as he enters the last year of his current deal with the team. Have some other things like training camp position battles to watch for. And if you guys follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Chiefs, or follow myself at @BradenHolacek9, let me know what training camp position battles or players you may want to see highlighted that may not always get the most recognition or love, that are trying, you know, to battle for a roster spot. Definitely have some matchups that I'm looking towards. I'm sure there's a lot of eyes, obviously, on the right tackle, a battle that'll be going on in training camp, but there's some others that, along with that, I'm really excited to see, you know, what transpires and takes place at St. Joe this year. And myself, really excited to get back to training camp. I've been the last couple few years before. Obviously, last year they moved it to the facility, practice facility in Kansas City. But it's always a great place at Missouri Western. You know, very, very nice setup that they have there. I would recommend if anybody listening to this has never been to Chiefs training camp before, definitely check it out. I mean, it's very easy to get into. I know on the weekends they just have $5 admission parking there at the college. So if you're interested in going to Chiefs training camp, kind of seeing the players up close and personal before their season really gets going and before, you know, some of their tight position battles get underway during, you know, the latter stages of camp practices or preseason games, which will also be returning this year. You guys can get that experience, and definitely interesting if you're a big football fanatic. So make your way out to St. Joe this year if you're interested in that. I guess the last couple of things to mention here for today's podcast episode, of course, check out the other great work at Full Press Coverage. There's a lot of other team pages NFL-wise right now that are doing tremendous jobs. The Miami Dolphins page, FPC Dolphins, FPC Raiders, FPC Bucks, Packers, and there's surely others that I'm missing out there. I know we have a new managing editor, I believe the FPC Bills page, that'll be starting to churn out some content soon. So if you're a Bills fan or have friends or family that are Bills fans, turn them on to that very soon. You guys can follow the main Full Press Coverage accounts on Twitter at FP Coverage and at Full Press NFL. Again, follow our Twitter accounts at FPC underscore Chiefs and follow myself at Braden Holacek 9 with the number 9 at the end. We'll have, like we said, some articles dropping here. A lot more consistent content, I guess. It's been a crazy summer. I've still been getting at least, you know, my early summer ones out of the way, but have a lot of exciting topics like we mentioned that really excited to get to here in the latter stages of the month. So be on the lookout for that. We'll have more podcast episodes coming out as well right here with the FPC Chiefs podcast. So stay tuned, of course, for that. If you're looking for daily video content, Full Press Coverage has you covered with that as well. Dylan and Ross Save Sports, 4 o'clock Central Time, 5 Eastern in the evening every weekday. If you go to YouTube or Facebook, search Full Press Coverage there, you'd be able to find that at that time. Dylan and Ross do a tremendous job. I always love the topics and discussion that they bring to the show during the week. Or if you're on Twitter, you guys can follow it there too. Full Press Radio Network, Full Press Coverage, Full Press NFL. Twitter accounts will have those video links posted there so you guys can watch. And also FPC Radio Live with Ian Glendon and Mike Debate weekday mornings. I believe it's 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central Time. So another tremendous duo there that does a great job. Obviously, can't express enough how great those guys are with their coverage. So go check those guys out. Again, morning or afternoon, daily video content there at Full Press Coverage. Again, with that, stay tuned for our latest articles and podcast episodes here with FPC Chiefs. And with that, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll see you guys next time.